Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, no. You're still asleep. Somebody else must not be a morning person, so we're going to wake up because somebody has challenged me. And I want you to all on the count of three turn and look at Brenda and say, good morning, Brenda. You ready? One, two, three. Good morning, Brenda. That's better. Oh, my goodness, what a day. A day filled with joy, a day filled with concerns. A Memorial Day weekend, as we come before the Lord, I ask if you have a prayer, a praise, a concern, a joy, that you share them at this time. Anybody, what's on your heart? If you have an unspoken request as we prepare to seek God and His guidance, just a hand up and down as we come forward. Thank all of you all. Let us join together. Heavenly Father, You did give us this country. We didn't come here with any thought except to follow You and the teachings of Your Son Jesus and live according to that way. And so as we approach this weekend, as we approach a time of careful celebration, Father, let us be in memory of all those who have served everywhere, at home, abroad, in foreign countries, here on this earth, on this soil, in this land, in the capacity of a military personnel, in the capacity of a fireman, a police officer, a doctor, a Sunday school teacher, a preacher, a mother, a father, a friend. All of them have shared in strength with us at some point in our lives. And so let us be ever mindful to remember them and honor them by first of all being humble in front of You, Father, and being thankful of the gifts that You bestow upon us and the blessings You pour out in this church, in this county, in this state, in this country. Father, thank You very much. There are many needs, many concerns laid out here in front of the altar, Father. The Holy Spirit will take them and guide those needs through Jesus Christ, who will intercede with You. But You know what we're trying to say. You hear us in the most quiet point in our life, inside the heart. Your strength can overwhelm us at times. And more often than not, when we think You're not listening, the truth is we're not. Father, lift us up. Let us focus on You and what You would have us do and hear Your voice. Let us be with those families in prayer that are suffering, that have long procedures to go through and recoveries to make, and those who have seen loss, Father. And as if to set it right, You answer us with the beauty and gift of life. New life. Coming into this world. A life just beginning. Young adulthood. You've shown us everything. Father, I can do no more but than to ask that You be with each and every one of us, and the prayers that are unspoken, and the needs be met. If there are those among us here today, Father, that are searching, let their search end with this family. Let them find a place to root in. If there are those that are still lost and still dwindling, Father, let them come this direction. Let them find You through a strong family of believers. Teach us how to pray, Father. I ask that we not mumble through the words, that we not study upon them, stumble upon them, that each word that we speak as we pray would be carefully sought to glorify You. As we pray the way Jesus would have us pray, let the voice be loud and strong. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Boy, they're ready, ain't they? Oh, hey, I've had them stand up here and do that themselves.
Well, I think it's a blessing to hear a little boy ask for prayer for his grandmother. How old are you, Mikey?
Mikey is 10.
8 years old. That's a wonderful test for him.
Amen. Open your Bibles. Joshua chapter 4. The whole chapter. All 7,000 verses. I'm going to read them right now. Joshua chapter 4. Memorial Day weekend. It's a great way to start a Memorial Day weekend by focusing on what God said to do for a memorial. Keep blowing my pages. I might forget what I'm preaching about, Martha. Joshua chapter 4, all 24 verses. We all know what has happened. Joshua has been led to take over the children of Israel. He is now the man that God talks to. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, right where the priests stood, and to carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and he said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up one stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took the 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua, and they carried them over to their camp, where they put them down. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priests who carried the ark had stood. And they are there to this day. Now the priests who carried the ark remained standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything the Lord had commanded Joshua was done by the people, just as Moses had directed Joshua. The people hurried over, and as soon as all of them had crossed, the ark of the Lord and the priests came to the other side while the people watched. The men of Reuben, Gad, and half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over, armed in front of the Israelites as Moses had directed them. About 40,000 armed for battle crossed over before the Lord to the plains of Jericho for war. This is the day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they revered him all the days of his life, just as they had revered Moses. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Command the priests carrying the ark of the testimony to come up out of the Jordan." So Joshua commanded the priests to come up out of the Jordan, and the priests came up out of the river carrying the ark of the covenant of the Lord. No sooner had they set their feet on dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to the place and ran at flood stage as before. On the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones that had been taken out of the Jordan. And he said to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants ask their fathers, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what had been done to the Red Sea. And when it dried up before us until we crossed over, he did this so that all people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear your God. Amen. Memorial Day. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, seek in our hearts and our minds openness, love, desire, want, that we may get this word from you. Let it flow through. Let it fill us up and take us from here, Father, signifying that we are your children. And let us minister to those who we see in our path in the week to come, using this as a strengthening tool. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was given a series of cartoons recently that were poking a whole lot of fun at Memorial Day weekend. One of them was a father standing in the grocery store at the meat counter going, okay, I got ribs, hot dogs, hamburgers, chickens, lobsters, crabs, shrimp. Let's see, what else have I forgot? And a little boy tugging on his pants leg going, Daddy, you forgot something for the soldiers. Well, that one hit me good. How much time is devoted to this weekend? I spent the entire day yesterday trying to fix a swimming pool. But it's still Memorial Day. It's still our day to make me stop and start thinking, exactly what does it mean? If you're going to go through Memorial Day, the first place you start is with a history lesson. We start thinking how Memorial Day came to be. And it's a story. And it's a great story. And it just so happens I was up by there not too awful long ago. The town is called Bowlesburg, Pennsylvania. And it's a quiet little village. It's a dot on the map. You will miss it if you're not careful. It's in Center County, Pennsylvania. It's in the foothills of the Alleghenies. And in case you're wondering what I was doing up there, if you know me, you don't have to wonder very long. Went up there to bring a tractor home that was lost. Couldn't find its way back to Maryland. But outside on the road is a marker that says Bowlesburg, an American village, birthplace of Memorial Day. Now, what about that? That's pretty bold of a town to say we're the birthplace of Memorial Day. But the truth is, in 1864 of October, it was a pleasant Sunday. The little community burial ground was behind the village where pioneers of colonial times had slept peacefully side by side with the fallen of the Civil War. It was this day that a pretty young teenage girl, her name was Emma Hunter, and her friend Sophie Keller had decided they were going to take garden flowers and go up to the graves of the soldiers and honor them. You see, up there had been her father, Dr. Reuben Hunter, who had been a famous surgeon in the Union Army and had suffered a casualty that led him to die just shortly before October. Also, that same day was a woman by the name of Mrs. Elizabeth Meyer who took flowers to the grave of her son Amos, who had fell at Gettysburg on the last day. Simple little acts. Flowers. Every now and then, and I'll never figure you women out. Every now and then, I am known to scratching down the brakes on the truck, jumping out of the truck with my pocket knife, in full view of God and the world, and walking out into the middle of the highway, and slicing wildflowers out of the median strip, and bundling them up and bringing them home to Wendy. And I don't know why I do it. It just sudden moment comes over, and they're just flowers, and I walk through the door, and I'm like, here, honey. Oh, look what you put me through. Simple act. Memorializing the fact that you had love for this person. They took flowers up. And so they met up there and they knelt at the nearby graves, the young girl honoring her father, the woman missing her son. And they laid hands and they got met and they got to talking and they told about how bravely the boy had fought and how bravely the father had worked under fire to secure life for those struck down by bullets. And the daughter respectfully took a few of her flowers and laid them on Amos's grave. And the mother, seeing this, took flowers from herself and laid them on the father's grave. They had a common bond, which is what we miss on Memorial Day. The common bond that we all sit in a church, we all live in a free country, we all have cars to drive, we all have televisions to watch, because somebody took the chance and laid down for us. Amen? Common bond. Together at that little central Pennsylvania burial ground there, where Mount Nittany stands eternal guard over the sleep, they made the first Memorial Day service and didn't know it. The story goes that the two women left that Sunday in October in 1864 and agreed to come back the next year and do it again. But on July 4th, the town found out and gathered up to go and honor all of them. All of Bowlesburg was gathered there. A clergyman, Dr. George Hall, preached a sermon. And every grave in that cemetery was decorated with flowers and flags. Not a single one was neglected, soldier and civilian. Every grave. Must have been an impressive ceremony. Must have been. It seemed fitting and proper that they started to do this. And so, Decoration Day erupted in Bowlesburg, Pennsylvania, on May the 5th in 1868. And when he found out about it, General John A. Logan, Commander-in-Chief of the Grand Army of the Republic, issued an order naming May 30th, 1868, as a day, quote, for the purpose of strewing flowers or otherwise decorating the graves of comrades who died in defense of their country. He signed the order with the hope that it will be kept up from year to year. And so it has. Now, ceremonies at first were only held to honor the dead of the Civil War. But the program was broadened to embrace those who fought in the Great War, World War II, the Korean War, and on up the line, and even going back and picking up the Revolutionary War. And it should be noted that the Holmes's immortal words were not an empty phrase when Memorial Day began to include civilians who had fought the battle as Christians, who had fought the battle of freedom. One flag, one land, one heart, one hand, one nation, everywhere. And as a matter of fact, Memorial Day, it should be noted that in 1882, it became properly designated by this country. It came named as Memorial Day. It wasn't until 1971 that we got the day off. They moved it, Congress, in their infinite wisdom, moved it to a Monday so we could have a three-day weekend to honor. Memorial Day weekend is not about the barbecue.
Not about the ribs.
Not about the ribs.
Not about the hamburgers.
Not about the pool. It's not about so many different things. This weekend is to remember those who have gone on. Yes, it is a military weekend, but it is also for loved ones that we miss dearly and the battle they fought while they were here. God commanded Joshua to make a place as a testament to my power and my glory and my love. Reading that again in verse 6. To serve as a sign among you in the future. When your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. the power of the Lord. Did you see that when you were over there? Is that memorial still there, them stones? Did you make that trip, bud? Huh? I would like to go do that. And we too often forget how these things get sideways. Years before I decided to go back to church, I would throw one leg over my motorcycle and like about 10,000 other bikes or however many, we'd ride down to Washington, D.C. A big group of people riding on Memorial Day to celebrate the veterans who had died. We'd all get together as a big group, ride as big groups down there, put bikes all over the mall down there. We'd all wait for the grand start of the parade to celebrate the Memorial Day, and all you could see was Memorial Day sale signs, and this person selling this, and get your inflatable flags right here, and Memorial Day specials on hot dogs, and come over here and buy sunglasses, and on down the line. And it didn't really bother me the first year, because I was single. The second year I went, I was single, but my wife went to church. I went down to ride with the riders. The third year, I took my wife. Now I'm married. I'm getting a few smarts because she's making me get them. And as we sat there watching these people just not really doing anything productive, she turned to me and she goes, "Exactly what are we remembering here?" Oops. Never went back. Never went back. We quit doing it because we're not remembering anything. We're just using it as an excuse. Now, don't get me wrong. There is no good reason why you shouldn't get together with your family over this weekend, with your friends. I'm not here to take away from that. Just remember what it's about. And it goes further than military conflict. As much as we are to remember those who fall, they gave us life. They gave us direction. They gave us purpose. There was one who did even more to establish Memorial Day. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul writing, "For I received from the Lord, which I also passed on to you, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' Then in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" That's Memorial Day, huh? Luckily, we still celebrate that as Church of the Brethren. And what's really funny about it is the Church of the Brethren has been celebrating that way for some 300 years, and other churches are starting to catch on. I think it's great. I hear about some of these newer churches starting to celebrate that last meal. I'm going to try to get them into washing feet next. Every time we sit down to that last meal, every time we sit down to the Last Supper, we are living a memorial tribute to Jesus. Memorial Day. A headstone. Given to us to never forget. Never. As this day was to remember those who have fallen in battle, we too are to remember Jesus as a warrior. Sometimes that's kind of hard to think about because he was quiet. Except when he was throwing the thieves out. He was gentle. He was love. But he was also a warrior. There's a great Christian comedian, Robert G. Lee, who describes what Jesus looked like. And it made me laugh the other day in the truck. He said, you know, a lot of people think of Jesus as being kind of meek and mild, and he was. But let's be what he really was. He was from over in Israel. He walked around in a tunic a lot. He was tan. He had long black hair. He had a beard. He was a carpenter. He probably had a washboard stomach. Ladies, Jesus was a stud. And I went, yeah. Robert G. Lee went, he probably inspired, "I'm the man." He was a warrior who fought the ultimate battle. that released you and me from death. Yeah. We're going to pass away. Pass means go past. Like it's what I should do at the desserts at the end of the buffet. I should go past them. Don't. Too many of them. We're going to pass away. We are not going to die because He died for us. Memorial Day. The wages of death. Jesus died on the field of battle. Beaten. Bloody. Hated. Left alone. Left alone to die. Matthew 27. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus died alone. Never forget that. And then He went to hell. And He fought. He took back our souls. He gave us a memorial and He saved us. He reminds us through that cross, through His death, through "do this in remembrance of me," as Memorial Day is, we should do, that He died and won everything for us all. Memorial Day. I think about Memorial Day for the men and the women in my life that are no longer here. My grandmother, my dad's mom, who taught me it was okay to eat peanut butter crackers. She taught me it was okay to take them and make a stack that tall and try to bite them all in one bite. She said, "Go ahead." My grandmother, who instilled in me the love of fried chicken. My step-grandfather, John Duty, my stepmother's father, probably the most influential man on my life. To this day, I find myself acting like he did. And it's kind of scary because he was nuts. My grandfather, my dad's dad, all love for tractors, steams, gas engines, and everything came from that. The people in your life that have touched you, and I got a list that goes on and on and on. Memorial Day is for you to stop and remember your life, your direction, your way of going. And to note that at the time when a memorial is being made, it may not seem like much, but later on it will change you. The Chicago Times wrote these words, "The cheek of every American must tingle with shame as he reads this silly, flat, dishwatery utterance of a man who has to be pointed out to intelligent foreigners as the man that is the President of the United States." That is a hard thing to say about a president that gave a speech. They were even called for it to be rewritten. Had it been done today, I believe he'd have been laughed right out of office because people were so vehemently against it. And yet, what words were it? 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war, and we have come to dedicate a proportion of that field as a final resting place for those who gave their lives that the nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggle here have consecrated far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they have fought here thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall have not died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that the government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth. Abraham Lincoln, Gettysburg Address. A dedication was made for us to remember. A dedication was laid out. We were left with a living memorial. Even beyond that, we were given something. Paul, writing to the Colossians, said these words: having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us, he took it all away, nailing it to a cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made public the spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. The memorial. The memorial. Left us with a living memorial that we will always know that the ultimate desire of Jesus was to see us saved. Like that in the address that President Lincoln wrote on the back of an envelope on a carriage on the way there. Under God we live with a new freedom in our own lives. Now it is Memorial Day. And I will do a hero story. I love doing hero stories. I love hearing them. Buck and Wally, would you come here a minute? Stand over there for a second. Hold this up. Two of you, hold on to that. Stand in the center. Slide that one. You get over here and hold this. I'm going to read this. Receiving the Silver Star from Brigadier General Joseph W. Stilwell, highest traditions of the military service, Second Lieutenant Howard D. Herstein, 01329241, Infantry, United States Army, for gallantry in action in Okinawa, Ryukyu Islands on 19 April 1945. Then an infantry platoon commanded by 2nd Lieutenant Herstein was attacking Skyline Ridge. It became subjected to an intense barrage of enemy mortar fire, causing several casualties. With expert guidance, 2nd Lieutenant Herstein led the men forward to within 15 yards of the crest of the ridge when the platoon was again subjected to a barrage of fire from grenades and satchel charges, inflicting many more casualties. Deciding to assault the ridge, inspired by 2nd Lieutenant Herstein's action, intense enemy fire, he called his men to move forward and continue the attack. Inspired by his actions, the men regained courage and once again resumed their advance. The enemy, seeing 2nd Lieutenant Herstein, directed their full fire upon him. With utter disregard for his personal safety, 2nd Lieutenant Herstein held his position until all his men had reached the crest of the hill and the position was secured. 2nd Lieutenant Herstein's gallant actions were inspiration to the entire platoon and received the highest credit upon himself in the military service. And for those of you who don't understand, 2nd Lieutenant Howard D. Herstein was Ann's husband. Amen. These are what we honor today. Not a barbecue grill. To those who gave their lives, to those who didn't give their lives but gave, were willing to go anyway to secure our freedom in this country. And more than that, we live to Jesus, who gave his life without thought, without a single solitary thought. He knew the time was coming. And he said, going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but you will." Brothers and sisters, not our will, God's will would lead us to remember Jesus Christ and go forward with Him, proclaiming His name on Memorial Day.
Go sit down, please.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, freedom. All we have to do is ask for it. All we have to do is fall down in front of Your Son Jesus and ask Him to lift us up. All we have to do to get away from the field of battle that sin rages on us is look to Him, and You gave Him to us. You gave us our own memorial with the cross. You set an example that men still follow, that women still follow, giving of themselves wholly and completely. On this Memorial Day, Father, let us each endeavor to stop and take a moment and say a prayer of thanks and ask for peace for families who have those serving, who have those who have served, who have those who have lost. Let us remember what it really is all about. That You gave us a country under You, founded on the principles of Your Son, who left us a memorial to always be in memory of. In Jesus Christ's name, we all pray. Amen. I thought it might be interesting to talk about the 12 apostles real quick. To encourage you to come forward if you need. They went forward. Of the 12 apostles, John died of old age. Peter was crucified head down. Andrew died on a cross in a Greek colony. James, younger brother of Jesus, was thrown from the pinnacle of a temple and then beaten to death. Bartholomew was flayed alive in Aramena. James, the elder son of Zebedee, was beheaded in Jerusalem. Thomas the doubter was run through with a lance in the East Indies. Philip was hanged in the city of Phyra in Asia Minor. Matthew was slain by the sword in Ethiopia. Thaddeus was shot to death with arrows. Simon the zealot died on a cross in Iran. Soldiers on the battlefield, waging against sin, thoughtless of themselves. Today I ask, if you don't know Jesus, if you need strengthening, if you need comfort, come forward. Don't leave here without that renewal, that refreshing of spirit.
Please stand and turn to page 319, near the cross.
To Lord, our healing stream flows.
Remember the common bond that we share, and that is we are all saved by Jesus' death. That we all live again by His resurrection. And let us proclaim it until that glorious day when He returns. Now I pray for this congregation, for these brothers and sisters, that their feet be made directed and guided under You in the weeks to come, their spirits refreshed, their hearts renewed. Now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, forever and ever. Amen.